Did you come expecting to receive a lot from the Lord? Amen. Just as surrender, let's just put our hands up and just begin to lift up our voices. God, we're so grateful that we're in your house tonight. And we've come in here expecting to meet with you. We know that you have great things in store. So we just open up our hearts. We open up our spirits. God, move in a way like we've never seen before. We know that you have more, more, more. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Show us
restore, revive your church and make us whole. Ignite, transform, take us to a place we've never seen before. In the Lord, amen. When David fell down and discouraged, he began to encourage himself. How many of you need to encourage yourself? That means we say no to our flesh and how we feel, but we stir up our spirit and we just begin to give him praise. All over this place, let's just begin to raise our hands. Jesus, we just magnify you. Whatever you have for tonight, God, we're willing. Whatever you have for tonight, we are open. We know that you have more and more. Just get that in our spirits tonight, because you're a good God and you want to bless your people. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. The windows of heaven are open. His blessings are falling tonight. Oh, there's joy, joy, joy in my soul, since Jesus made everything right. Oh, I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. Oh, I'm feasting on manna from heaven. That's why I'm happy tonight. Oh, the windows of heaven are open. His blessings are falling tonight. Oh, there's joy, joy, joy in my heart. Jesus made everything right.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you all evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, there's power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, yeah. Would you service for Jesus, your King.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
And would you live daily His praises to sing? This wonderful power in the blood.
Come on, tell me.
There is power, power,
working power
in the blood
of the Lamb.
There is power, so much power, wonderworking power in the precious blood. The blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
This is what we need. Come on.
And it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the heart has never yet been told.
Come on, sing.
But it is joy.
He saved me.
Well, if it had not been
feasting on manna. Come on.
Oh, feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight.
One more time. I'm feasting.
Oh, I'm feasting on manna from heaven. That's why I'm happy tonight.
Hallelujah. Come on, if you're happy tonight to be a child of God, why don't you give him a mighty roar of praise? He's so much. He's done so much. He is so much. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. What a mighty God. If he's done something in your life, be a testimony and just begin to praise him for it right now. We don't need a song at the moment. Just praise him with your own words. Thank him for what he's brought you through. He's everything. He's our deliverer. He's our provider, our protector, our shepherd, our healer. He's everything. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I am the Lord, the Almighty God. I am the one for whom nothing is too hard. I am the shepherd. I am the door. I am the good news to the bound and the poor. I am. I am. I am. I am. I am the righteous one. I am the Lamb. I am the ram in the bush for Abraham. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your Redeemer, beginning and the end. I am.
Sunday night. Praise the Lord. God is so good. We want to thank you for coming tonight. Charleston Church, would you let our visitors and our guests know that they are welcome here? Come on, let's let them know, make them feel welcome tonight. Praise you, God. If you are visiting tonight, if you look at the seat back in front of you, there's a contact card. If you could so kindly just fill that out and put it into the offering bucket when it goes by. We just want to be able to connect with you and thank you for coming to visit us tonight. I mean, there's always something great going on here at Charleston Church. Last night we had incredible turnout at the Fall Fest. The Kids on the Move team did an incredible job. This place was completely transformed to a autumn wonderland, not winter yet, but it was snowing outside, but we kept it like fall on the inside. And let me tell you, the quality of the helpers that you have around the church, you can figure that out by how many leave right when the thing's over, but they didn't. They stuck around and got the place cleaned up, and in no time, I mean, this place was ready for a Sunday morning, and we had a lot of people, and they worked hard. So come on, let your Kids on the Move staff and volunteers, I don't know how greatly we appreciate them. Great, great job. Great job. Just a couple of announcements tonight. Not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, November 7th at 7 p.m. we'll be having, six? Sit down. Hey, you guys can sit. I thought you were telling me to sit down. Did I screw this? I was that bad already? Maybe I should. We're going to try this again. On November 7th, while you're seated, at 7 p.m., first Wednesday, show up. Additionally, in the announcement section, on November 11th, we are going to be honoring all of our veterans. If you are a veteran or you are currently serving in one of our military branches, we want to honor you with a lunch right in the fellowship hall. We thank you for your service, and we want to show you our appreciation. Tonight, as the ushers are coming, we're going to get ready to take up this evening's tithe and offering. How many know that God is a faithful God? No matter what, no matter what situation you might be in, let me tell you, tithing works. No matter any time that you've got a need, I have never had a need. There's many times that I've worried about a need if it was going to get met. But there's not one time that that need did not get met when I was faithful to the Lord. Charleston Church, be faithful in your giving tonight. We're going to pray for the offering after, choir, after you've given. You can come up and get ready to sing tonight. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for everything that you're doing here in Charleston Church. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you will bless this offering tonight, God. Bless everybody here in attendance. Lord, we open our hearts even now, God, for you to do something incredible. God, in our lives, we praise you and give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus Christ promised that he would build his church. He also promised that no power in hell will ever be able to stop it. When we are bringing hope to the hopeless, when we're bringing help to the poor, when we're training leaders for ministry, we are building his church. In 2019, we're going to continue our momentum of reaching locally and globally through our Project 19. Over 16% of Maine homes are struggling with hunger. Well, we want to do something about that. Safe Place Food Pantry this year will give out over 550 tons of food. We'll be able to minister to over 700 families in 2019. Plus, 70 children will go home with a backpack full of food each weekend during the school year. Fusion is our television outreach ministry. Every day through WABI, CW, KISS 94, and Facebook, we are connecting with over 12,000 homes right here in the state of Maine. In 2019, we're going to partner with Tiff Shuttlesworth. He's going to go to Alaska and minister to people who have never heard the gospel before. He'll travel to some of the most remote regions to bring the hope of Christ. In 2019, we're going to partner with Nate Pimentel as he goes to Chennai, India, There he'll hold an outdoor crusade in a city of over 10 million people. Faith Bible College International is becoming one of North America's premier Pentecostal Bible colleges. Students are coming from all over the world being trained for ministry. We want to make sure that we can add to the scholarship fund so that everyone that God calls gets an excellent training experience. Like I said, Jesus promised to build his church and nothing is going to stop him. We are so grateful for the opportunity that God has given to Charleston Church. For in 2019, we become one church in two locations. We will gather for worship right here in Charleston, and we're going to gather with another congregation in Sullivan. So we're Charleston Church, Charleston, Maine, and Charleston Church down east. We believe a revival is going to take place. We believe that every community in the state of Maine deserves a spirit-filled, soul-winning church. We're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to reach the orphans in Haiti. Orphans are really close to the heart of God. This coming year, we'll give out over 83,000 meals. We'll continue to see the work that we started this past year go forward. We're going to build a building that is large enough for 500 people to gather for worship, and it will be a feeding center. Together, we are able to support and make the kingdom grow through the doors that God has opened up for us. Thank you so much for partnering with us. 2019 is going to be the greatest year of ministry we've ever had.
I love that video, and I love this church. It's amazing that that video is talking about how many miles away that this church is helping. But one thing that I love about this church is it's not only focused on far away, but it's focused on the state, and it's focused on people around. I'm from Bangor, and I came to this church because you guys gave to the youth group, and they sent a van 45 minutes one way to pick up just me. So it's amazing that we're helping people so far away. Oh, the video's gone. So far away, but you guys are also doing amazing things to help out teenagers around that can feel lost and feel alone, and you guys are making such a difference. You guys have changed my whole life. Of course, God has done it, but he has used you because you guys have been available. And that's the song that I'm going to sing tonight. It's called Available, and that's one thing that changes everything. You can have the power of God, but if you're not available to do anything, it's your choice. So I want you guys to declare with me. We've done this song before, so I think you guys know it a little bit. But I just want you guys to lift your hands in worship when we sing this and just declare that you're available tonight, that you're available to be used. You're available to make a difference because you will. Each person in these seats, you can make a difference. You can make a difference. You guys will see people that I won't see, so you can make a difference to everybody. It all starts with availability. So that's what we're going to sing tonight.
We're going places we've never been. Like we've lost all we know to chase a voice on the wind. We're not lost, we're looking in. We feel like we've lost all composure and pride. If it looks like we've laid our strain to the side. If we seem desperate, wish is kind, it's true. You're looking for a city, for a place to show your glory. Look no further, we're available. And you're searching for a people who are hungry for revival.
Yeah.
all the other noise out. We're still the same. We're the same for you. If our praise, if our prayers seem outrageous and bold, if our worship gets too big for we're building a home, we're not making a show, we're just making a room. And if our praise, if our prayers seem outrageous and bold, if our worship gets too big for we're building a home, we're not making a show.
that way. All right? Praise God.
How many believe the Bible's true? Well, the Bible says that God is looking throughout all of the earth trying to find somebody that He could show Himself strong to. So I need you to know that long before you start looking for God, God's already been looking for you. Do you believe that? Then let's begin to pray. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to wonder if you can pour out your Spirit on us tonight. We know that you pour your Spirit out on us. If we will match our hunger with your will, we know that your will be done through our hunger and your power. We receive, Lord, a reviving spirit, a spirit of anointing, strength that comes upon us tonight. May you do something in us that doesn't just change us for tonight. May you set us on a trajectory that changes us forever. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. While you're standing, please open your Bibles to the book of Mark. Anthony, you can stand as well if you don't mind. You don't have to sit down, Anthony. You can stand. That's all right. Oh, that made me laugh. I needed one. I needed a good laugh. So, thank God for His presence. Amen. The Lord good? Yes. You have to kind of feel for preachers all across New England this weekend, because most of the Christians that are Red Sox fans have had about 4 hours of sleep each night. And all of these preachers have been fired up about the weekend, thinking the Red Sox fans with victories would be alive and shouting, and they are in their spirit, but their bodies are like, no more. So I would, if I could, pray that God would help the Red Sox to end it early tonight. Because you, not just church, you got to go to work tomorrow. And I don't want God's people looking tired in the workplace. Yeah, well, anyways. Some of you are, okay, some of you Yankee fans, you're just not happy anyway. You're looking for somebody to snipe. So I'm just teasing you. A little bit. Not, well, actually, I'm not teasing at all. Mark chapter 11. I don't have it on the screen because you're Christians. Scriptures on the screens are for visitors. So you need to, now everybody's got a phone on their, a Bible on their phone. So either bring a paper Bible or open your phone to the book of Mark. And until I change my mood, I'll probably just ask you to look at your Bible. I like looking at my Bible and reading. And so if I was you, I'd do the same thing. I'm looking at the New King James Version tonight. And you pick what translation you like best. Had a young man in our church, needed to have a little visit with Pastor Paul Rogers. Was being attacked a little bit at his workplace, and Paul said, "What is going on?" "Well, somebody is really attacking me, and they might go into the church there." "And what's, well, they're mad because we don't only read out of the King James." But, you know, it does make me think, though. I've been thinking about that. How many people can they be easily discouraged because they just don't know all of these things, right? I mean, you know, there is something to that Bible that came together. It's quite miraculous. And you can't blame people who don't know, because if they don't know, they just haven't been taught. So, anyways, I'm reading out of the New King James. You read whatever you want. I don't care. Mark 11, verse 12. "Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry," that's Jesus, "and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs," or Newtons. Verse 14, "because you can't have one without the other." That was deep. That's what happens when you ring the New King James Version. "In response, Jesus said to the tree." How many of you have talked to plants before and trees before? Come on. Well, that's what Jesus did. He talked to the tree, but it wasn't good. "He said to the tree, 'Let no one eat fruit or Newtons from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." You can be seated. I want to talk to you about prayer as the language of faith. And over these next Sunday nights that I'm preaching, I'm going to really be leaning in on this aspect of prayer. And I won't be long tonight because I don't want us to be one of those churches that talks about prayer more than it does it. The power is not talking about it. The inspiration is talking about it. The power is in doing it. So you're going to have some time to pray tonight. How many of you got some things to pray about, talk to God about? You want God to see change this week? I believe that we're going to see that happen because of prayer tonight. So I find this interesting, and leave your Bibles open because I'm going to go to different scriptures, that Jesus walks up to this fig tree, and the Bible says this is not the season for figs. And so Jesus knows that this is not fig season, but for some reason the tree is producing leaves without fruit. Now you know there's a lot of preaching right there, and I'm not going to do it tonight, and because I don't think Sunday night people need that. But in essence, he's a little bit turned off that the tree has the look of being productive, but it's not productive. And I would just say that what makes you go from looking like a productive Christian to a productive believer is oftentimes prayer. Okay? All right. Now let's go to verse 15 of that same chapter, Mark 11. So they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Basically, it became a business where they took advantage of people. They compromised. They were cutting deals. I mean, understand, there are churches that will cut a deal if you're a big enough giver. Then he taught them, after Jesus drove people out of church and destroyed the church furniture, he said, okay, now I feel like teaching. Okay, whatever, it's Red Sox, I know. Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? That's what God wants in his house. We do a lot of things in his house, and prayer ought to be one of them. How about a good amen? But you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief Pharisees heard it, and they sought out that they might destroy him. They didn't like his teaching, apparently. They wanted him dead. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. You know, I find when you tell the truth with the anointing, even people that don't like you have to admit there's something powerful to that. And when the evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Wow. Wow, talk about an early frost, right? I mean, this thing just did not have its leaves turn yellow and red and pretty and people take pictures. This thing was dead from the very bottom. I mean, talk about a quick death. Quick death. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. I find that very interesting that Jesus one day talks to the tree and the tree withers up. It's just like a riveled, it's just a mess. The next day, Jesus walks by it and he don't even pay attention to it. If I was Jesus, I'd say, oh, hey, look over there, look what I did. Look what I did. Jesus never even mentioned the tree. It was Peter who looked at the tree and said, my goodness. Peter reveals that he never really did believe what Jesus said would happen. You ever had somebody tell somebody a testimony? They say, I can't believe it. Well, it didn't happen because of you then. And so Peter reveals his lack of expectation. There are three things that are made, and I'm not really going to preach on that long, but there are three things that will create expectation. Your emotions, your will, and your spirit. Some people don't know how to get excited for anything. And if you don't have expectation, you'll never really be able to grow. But expectation comes from emotions. You've got to desire things. Expectation comes from will. You must ask for things. Expectation comes from spirit. You've got to believe God will do these things. Now watch this. Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. If you would, you can write it down. If you want, it'll be on the screen. Faith has a connection, and that is God. Faith has a connection, God. Please hear, I'm going to tell you, and this is going to sound odd, but faith doesn't accomplish anything. Faith does not accomplish anything. Faith does not move a mountain or a mouse. God does. God does. I think that we can become so enamored in faith that we leave God out of the equation. But faith has an object, and that object is God. He didn't say have faith. Having faith is not the same as positive thinking. Positive thinking won't hurt you, but having faith in God will heal you. So if you're hoping a certain person will pray for you, I think that you need to move your faith away from a certain person and move your faith to a great God tonight. Amen. It's almost new age to say, well, if I can get so-and-so to pray for me. That's borderline new age cultism. We don't have to have faith in the preacher. We're not to have faith in the TV personality. We're not to have faith in a leader. We're to have faith in God. Now, God anoints certain people to do great things, but ultimately, the only mountain-moving force that's on the planet is God Himself. How about a good amen? So, we've got to understand that our faith is connected to a God. Then if my faith is connected to God, then I should want to know God. Go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. On your iPad, your Bible, your phone, your Android if you're on a budget. I'm waiting. You don't know your password. The anointing is fading. Come on now, get with it. Or just don't. Look at me then. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either. Even though I'm in prison for Him, with the strength of God He gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was His plan from before the beginning of time to show us His grace through Jesus Christ. And that is the world's longest sentence. And now He has made us all of this plain to us to be appearing of the Christ Jesus our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way of life and immortality through the good news. And chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the good news. That is why I am suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that He is able to guard what I have entrusted Him until the day of His return. The reason that some people don't pray is because they don't know God. But Paul said, the reason that I'm in prison and I have more joy in this cell than you do in your church seat is because I have known God in such a way that it doesn't matter what goes on around me because I know how great He is. I'm not worried about how great my adversary is. See, the mountains of your life will prophesy to you doom. But when you know God, God will prophesy to you victory and breakthrough and healing and deliverance. That's why Zechariah said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And what is this mountain? Say to this mountain, be moved. To know God is to know that nothing is too hard for God. All right. So faith has a connection, and it's God. Secondly, faith has an action, and it's prayer. Verse 23, back in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, turn there in your Bible or on your phone or whatever. And Jesus said, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now how many know mountains can talk? And we're not talking about Mount Katahdin, we're talking about, it's a picture of things that are bigger than you. And mountains talk. How many ever had a situation talk to you and tell you it's going to do this to your life? How many ever had a setback tell you this is never going to change, you're never going to rebound, you're never going to get married, you're never going to get remarried, you're never going to have a child, your child's never going to serve God? How many know mountains have voices? But my God is bigger than my mountain. Watch this. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. I'm talking about something that could really make a change in your life. Be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. This is, every word here is worth looking at. If you will not doubt in your heart, if you will speak to the mountain and believe that those things that you say will be done, he will have what he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Watch this. How many of you here tonight would say, I believe I have faith? Half? Half the crowd? I'm going to try that one more time. I know that was a tough question. It was hard to understand. I said it. It was such a long question. How many of you have faith tonight? Everybody. Okay. Okay, so you're a two-question crowd. Okay, I get it. I'll take note of that for the future. Always ask twice. It's what my wife does. The proof that you have faith is that you pray. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. It's not even in the book of Matthew. It's in the book of Mark. Blame Mark for this one. We don't have a thought that it can't be done, because when we give seeds of prayer, we doubtless return and believe that God will move the mountain. We never want to admit that we don't believe, but when we become prayerless, we admit that we don't believe. Watch this, please. Oh, help me, Lord. Prayerlessness is not a discipline issue. How many of you have ever been challenged to maintain a consistent, healthy prayer life? Okay, I forgot, you're a two question. How many of you have ever struggled to maintain a consistent prayer life? See what I mean? The second time you always answer. That's really weird. But I'm willing. I mean, that is, and oftentimes people will say, well, I've just got to get more disciplined. Lack of prayer is not a discipline issue. Lack of prayer is a faith issue. Lack of prayer is not a discipline issue. Lack of prayer is not a time issue. You always find time to eat. It's not a routine issue. Sure, you can have a routine, you get thrown out of it, that can affect you. But prayerlessness or lack of prayer is a faith issue, because Jesus says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Y'all okay with that? Angels are waiting for you to pray. Heaven is waiting for you to pray. I want you to read this. Kevin DeYoung says this, and it'll be on the screen. I hope it just kind of challenges you tonight. Because this is the real root of why we may not be as prayerful as we ought to be. Prayerlessness is an expression of our meager confidence. I don't know if you can see that too well. Prayerlessness is an expression of our meager confidence in God's ability to provide, and of our strong confidence in our ability to take care of ourselves without God's help. Man, that pierces my heart. The heart that never talks to God is the heart that trusts in itself and not in the power of God. Prayerlessness is unbelief. Prayerfulness, on the other hand, is an evidence of humility and faith, which is why God loves it when we pray. Somebody say, Lord, give me more faith. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, if you want to turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Here are some like short commands, and I've never tied these scriptures together until study this week. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, the writer writes the words, rejoice always. Somebody say, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Say, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. I love these words. Rejoice how often? All the time. Pray without what? Ceasing. In everything give thanks. Do not quench the Spirit, and do not despise prophecies. I will tell you that I believe if you are continually rejoicing, if you are continually praying, if you are continually thankful, if you are continually open to the Holy Spirit, you will appreciate prophecy. But when we try to get people to grasp onto prophecies that have inconsistent rejoicing, inconsistent prayer, inconsistent thankfulness, inconsistent walk with the Holy Spirit, they will automatically despise the good thing that God has for them. I'm preaching. Help me, Lord, preach this clear. There are prophecies that the mountains will speak over your life. You'll never get this. You'll never recover from that. And the only way that I know how to conquer the fears, the voice of fear from our challenges, is to get myself acquainted with the voice of God that speaks prophetically, that if you will speak the word of God, every mountain must be moved aside and victory belongs to people. But you don't get that because it feels good. You get that because you have a habit. Rejoicing always, praying always, thankful always, open always, and I appreciate my future's better than my past. Your tomorrow is going to get stronger. And the more I get to know God, now watch this. Watch this. He says, if you will pray and not doubt. I don't know about you, but now that's a challenge. Come on, musicians, if you would, please. I want to be committed to us praying tonight. Don't turn there. You don't need to. But Mark chapter 9, you remember the story of the father, brother, his son. He was demon-possessed. Took his son to the disciples. They couldn't help him. And he finally got to Jesus. And Jesus said these words in verse 21, Mark 9. How long has this been happening? He said, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, tries to kill him. Have mercy on us if you can. I love this New Living Translation. Sorry. What do you mean, if I can? Like, that's what he says. Jesus is like listening, you know, like a good pastor would. Giving them pastor ums. You would heal him if you can. What you mean if I can? It's in the Greek. What you mean if I can? You don't know me that well, do you? What do you mean if I can? Jesus said anything is possible for a person who believes in the Father, a good dad. He is a good dad. What a great example to us tonight. And this good dad said instantly, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe. How many of you got family members that you want God to do a mighty miracle for them? You're not living in the if he can, but you're realizing, wait a minute, I'm not praying for them because I don't have faith like I should. And I don't have faith like I should because I don't know him like I should. But if I know him like I should, I will have faith like I should. And if I have faith like I should, I will pray like I should. Oh, it's so stinking simple. Even I get it. One more time. If I will know God like I should, I will have faith like I should. And if I have faith like I should, I will pray like I should. And Jesus said, if you pray believing, you will have what you asked for. That is so powerful. So, if you were to take out your phone, don't, and go on the internet, don't, and Google, how do I get rid of unbelief? The Google gods would say, watch, you need to have more faith. But dear Google, that's what I don't have. I'm struggling with doubt. Well, you just need to believe more. You get a bunch of books on faith, and they in essence say, you have doubt, then you really need to believe. But I'm trying, but I still have this doubt. Because it's evidence that I lack prayer. I lack rejoicing. I lack gratitude. So I began to pray this week. Because if doubt is stopping your miracle from coming, then I as a pastor want to do everything I can to address how to get rid of doubt. And I'm yet to hear anybody tell me how to get rid of doubt without saying have more faith. It would be kind of like saying, you know, how do I lose more weight? Lose weight. Hello? I have a weight problem. How do I fix it? Lose some. Well, I wish it was that simple. I wish it was that simple. My doctor sent me to a dietitian. Said I was obese. Anyways, that's a whole nother story. My wife gave me that look and it just registered. I should not tell the rest of that story to protect the somewhat innocent. Thank you, Lord. See, I'm starting to grow up a little bit. 47. It's time. You know what? I love... Come on, help me. This is just class now. In the Bible, of all the Bible characters, who do you think is the most notable person who doubted? T- Thomas, everybody. Poor guy. He must be like in heaven, like, it's 250 people, 275 people. And I said, who doubts no Thomas? Is anybody here named Tom? Does no? I've met some Toms. I'm like, their parents have got to be heathens. No Christian parent. That is funny. I never thought of that. That's funny right there. I don't care who you are. That's funny. Like everybody. Like if, okay, so anyways, you get the point. So how did God deal with Thomas's unbelief? I mean, Thomas saw Jesus heal people. Thomas saw him on the cross. You would think of all the people that didn't struggle with doubt, it would be Thomas. But unbelief does not get cured by seeing a miracle. Apparently. Now, people can be drawn to God by seeing a miracle. I believe these are signs and wonders. But I do not believe that the answer to doubt is a miracle. Because if it was, Thomas would have never been put in such a bad light. Now, I'm gonna ask twice. Ready? How many have ever struggled with doubt once? How many have ever struggled with doubt? See, it worked right there. I said it twice, and you all responded. And wouldn't it be religious for me to say, just believe more? Come on, buck up. Believe more. But this is what Jesus did for Thomas. Thomas was in the upper room, and he says to the boys, I don't believe. Let me rewind. So the boys are in the room, the disciples are in the room, and Jesus appears to them, and they're like, yeah, he's alive. Jesus leaves the room, and Thomas comes in. And they said, you'll never believe the service we had. Jesus was in it. And Thomas is like, the one service I miss. You miss one Sunday night. It was the best Sunday night of the year. You know how Thomas felt. And Thomas was like, you know what? Even if he comes back and I see the nail pierce in his hands, in his side, I still won't believe. So Thomas leaves. He comes back. And Jesus comes back again. Isn't that beautiful? No, isn't that beautiful second time? Isn't that beautiful? Because Jesus didn't come back for the other 11. They're all right. Jesus came back for the doubter. That gives hope, because all of you raised your hands that you struggle with doubt. I got good news for you tonight. Jesus will come back a second and a third time and a fourth time for people who have doubt but don't quit. And Jesus never rebuked Thomas. And Thomas got into the presence of Jesus, and Jesus said, touch my hands, see my side. And Thomas believed. Thomas didn't believe because Jesus won an argument. Thomas believed because he got to know more about Jesus. Please hear what I want to tell you. The only cure to unbelief that causes us to be prayerless is to know him more. I thought so. Come on, I'm saying this. I'm not saying it for me. I get it. Do you get it? The frustration. Well, I gotta pray harder. I gotta do harder. I gotta do harder. I gotta work. I gotta stop this. I'm a bad person. No more TV. And I'm gonna start listening to FM 88 again. Mm-mm. Paul said, "All that I may know him." The only way to make your doubt shrink and vanish is to get in the presence of God and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Teach me. Talk to me. Get in my life. Get a hold of my heart. Get a hold of my mind as I read the word, as I worship you, as I spend time with you. And I'm going to tell you, friend, the more you get to know him, the more you want to love him. And the more you want to love him, the more of him you'll want in you. And the more of him you get in you, the more you will rejoice, the more you will pray, the more you will be thankful, the more you'll be open, and you will encourage the prophetic promises of God over your life. I need everybody to hear this tonight. God has a promise for all his people. How many received the promise of God over your life? I don't care if this is the first time you've been in church. I don't care if this is the 1,000,000th time you've been to church. Good news, friend. God make your fingerprint like nobody else is on the planet to let you know he knows who you are. He's made everybody different because he's got a different promise for everybody. And how many want to see God's will fulfilled in your life? If I'm going to be a fig tree, I want to produce figs. If I'm going to be a believer, I want to produce answers to prayer. And I pray tonight that the power of Jesus comes upon us in such a way that he reveals himself to us. Let's stand together. Praise God. Praise God. Would you, and I want you to help me with a little something because I'm always just trying to tweak a little bit here. I'm thankful for clapping hands. I'm thankful for raising hands. But the most powerful form of worship is what comes out of your voice. There are these other forms of praise and worship. I'm glad for that. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to move the mountain, you won't clap it and wave it away. You're going to speak it away. Would you begin to praise God right out loud right now? Just begin to praise God. Let's start making that a habit around this church. Let's start making that a habit around this church. Let's show the young people what it means to praise God. Go ahead, open your mouth. I love you, Lord. We'll sing in a minute, but I dare you to praise him. He inhabits the praises of his people. So when I praise him, he comes. When he comes, I get to know him. When I get to know him, my doubt leaves, my faith rises, I pray, and the mountains are removed. Come on. The mountain of debt, the mountain of sickness, the mountain of worry, the mountain of depression, the mountain of sickness, the mountain of fear, the mountain of bitterness, the mountain of disease, the mountain of setbacks are going to change. Come on, begin to praise him. Lord, I love you. And I'm not ashamed. Thank you. Just, you say, I don't know what to say. Thank him for what he's done for you. Lord, I thank you that you got us up this morning. I thank you for breath. I thank you for strength. I thank you you got us in your house today. I thank you we're safe. I thank you we're protected. I thank you that every need is met. We thank you, Lord, tonight that we're growing in faith. We're growing in belief. We're decreasing doubt and we're increasing belief. We're decreasing unbelief and we're increasing faith. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that you are able to keep that which I've given to you until the day of your return. Hallelujah. I thank you there's a prophecy over every person's life. I thank you there's a will for every individual in this place. I thank you they don't need to think about ending their life. They don't need to think about giving up. They don't have to think about quitting. All they need to think about are the promises of God are yes and amen. I thank you, Lord, tonight that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We are the truth. Come on, somebody begin to thank God. Quote the word. Speak the word. Take those scriptures and call them up. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God loves to hear that kind of praise. Begin to honor him. Glorify him. Use your mouth. Open your mouth. You don't need to study your eyelids. You need to study God. And begin to say, Lord, I praise you. I magnify you. Hallelujah. I thought it would turn into a prayer meeting. I'm wrong. This needs to turn into a worship service. Come on. Just begin to praise him. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. God's called us to another worship time. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name forever. Praise the Lord on the harp. Praise the Lord on the cymbal. Praise the Lord in your heart. Pray, lift holy hands unto God. Shout with a voice of triumph. Begin to magnify God. And when God comes into a place, doubt runs and belief increases. I praise you, Lord. You know, the Bible says to sing to him in spiritual songs and hymns. You can be a songwriter right now if you want to. You say, well, I'm nervous. I'm sitting beside it. Somebody might not like it. Sit with somebody next week. Now, but just begin to praise the Lord. Maybe they won't sit with you. Just begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not singing to you anyways. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the King of Kings. This is how we fight our battles. We praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody online, you're going under pressure. You're in a tight spot. I challenge you, praise the Lord right now. Praise the Lord in your living room. Praise the Lord in your truck. Praise the Lord in the garage. Let everything that has breath praise you, the Lord. I love you, Lord. And I don't care who knows. Come on. Some of you, God will put a song in your heart and you'll just sing it all week long. It'll bring you the victory. Come on. Hey. Your greatest battle is not sin. Your greatest battle is not addiction. Your greatest battle is not a disease. Your greatest battle is not an enemy. Your greatest battle is doubt. But doubt disappears when God is present. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to say, Lord, reveal your power to me. Reveal your reality, not to my body, not to my emotions, but to my spirit. Come on. Lord, feed me till I want no more. Give me the bread of heaven, manna, spiritual nourishment. Fill me till my cup overflows. I praise you, Lord. We'll sing in a minute, but I want you to praise Him. Go ahead, you begin to praise Him. Come on. If you begin to work up a worship discipline in church, you'll build a worship discipline at home, in private. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Come on, people watching online, they're like, what are them crazy people doing? We're doing what God gave us two hands for, praising Him. We're doing what He gave us a voice for, to praise Him. He gave us what He gave us a body for, to magnify the Lord. Begin to bless the Lord right now. If praise becomes tiresome, you lose your edge. But when you get your praise back, I never lost my joy. Come on. I never lost my worship. I never lost my adoration. I'm in awe of His presence. I honor you, Lord. Big God. Come on, praise Him like He's a big God. You're a big God. Hallelujah. Come on, you're a big God. Your kids ought to see you praise Him. Your spouse ought to see you praise Him. Your church family ought to see you praise Him. I come to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Heather. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody praise Him. Somebody praise Him. You won't even know it, but doubt is beginning to evaporate off the people tonight. This is how I fight my battles. If you rid yourself of doubt, you will bring yourself victory. Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody help me.
This is praise Him.
Come on, somebody help me praise Him. I want to know Him. I want more of Him.
Hey. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. Hey. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
Hey!
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
Somebody praise Him. Let the doubt go. You don't need it anymore. Come on.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
God, I want You in this place tonight. God, I want You in my life like I've never had before.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Joy is coming to you tonight.
This is how I fight my battles.
Oh, this is how I fight
my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
I praise You, Lord. Hallelujah.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
I praise You, Lord, worthy to be praised.
This is how I fight my battles.
Worthy, worthy, worthy.
This is how I fight my battles.
Big God, big God.
This is how I fight my surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
Thank You, Lord.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
Surround me, Lord, yeah.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
Hallelujah.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. This is how I fight my battles.
Hallelujah to the King of Kings.
This is how I find my battles.
Glory to the Lamb of God, our soon coming King.
This is how I find my battles.
Praise You, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
This is how I find my back. Ooh. Oh, yeah. This is how I win my back.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I know it is.
Praise.
This is how I win my back. This is how I win my battles.
Hallelujah.
This is how I win my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I find my battles. 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 This is how I find my battle. This is how I find my battle.
Come on, praise
battle.
Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise yeah. Him.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Oh, I'm surrounded.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Even when I don't see that you're working, even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see that you're working, even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, even when I don't see that you're working, even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop working. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Who you are, who you are, say.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
For that is who you are.
That is who you are.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Tyler and Heather, come on over here. Bring your kids. Bring your little baby girl. Praise the Lord. I know that God is in this place. Do you believe that God is in this place? I believe that God is in this place. Any time that doubt begins to move out, faith has room to move in. And when faith has room to move in, that's when you want to act on your faith. And just ask God to do a mighty thing. How many want to see God just do a mighty thing? As evidence of the removal of doubt. And we want to pray for Keegan. She heard you say that to me. It's okay. You guys know, I just don't remember her name. She'll be 43 before I remember. Hi, sweetheart. Keegan is how old now? Maybe like 8, 9, 10 days? 2 weeks. I was getting there. If I'd have kept going, I'd have been right on the nose right there. But Keegan, when Keegan was born, Everything was fine. And when Keegan came back to mom and dad from the nursery, she was not moving her right arm. And so they've done some CAT scans, and there is a break. There isn't a break. There is a break, but it just doesn't line up. Things just don't make sense. And they don't know if there's any nerve damage there. And 2 weeks old. And what's strange is that she was moving it, and now she's not. And so we believe that God will touch Keegan tonight. And it's not the volume of our prayer. It's faith. Jesus did not poison that fig tree. He didn't scream at it and make it feel bad. He simply said, "You're no good to me." In essence, Jesus said to the fig tree, "You're dead to me." And die it did. He just spoke. And we believe tonight that it's... Now, sometimes we get zealous, and that is scriptural. But tonight, I just feel like we should just use our faith that God would touch Keegan's arm. And that little girl's arm will be just like a brand new arm. Well, in essence, it is a brand new arm, I guess. But better than new, healed and whole. Amen. So I want you to come and gather with me. And, you know, some of you remember, some of you are young parents. And you don't like these kind of reports, and you want God to touch her. And so God seemed to always move on children when their parents had faith, and these parents have faith. And so now be careful there, boys. Just be careful on her. She's little. She's tiny like you used to be. Oh, you're fine, but she's tiny like you used to be. Good. I'm glad you're praying for her. All right, let's put our faith together. Come on, let's put our faith together. In this altar, in those seats, online. In Jesus' name, touch this little arm on Keegan's body. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is victory. In the name of Jesus, there is healing. In the name of Jesus, we're not wondering what your will is. We are agreeing with what your will is. We ask that you touch this precious, precious little life. There isn't enough money on the planet to outweigh her worth, Lord, to mom and dad, to us, and even more so to you. And God, I agree together with Tyler and Heather's faith that nothing is impossible to those. You said they that believe will pray. And if they pray without doubt, they will have what they ask. Father, we come to you real simple tonight. We believe any doubt is gone. We know what the word says, and we agree with what you want done in little Keegan's body. Lord, I believe that this will be a miracle for her parents to tell her as she grows older. In the name of Jesus, she was healed. And Lord, that will be a testimony to her little life and her little heart. And God, it will build her strength. And we thank you for doing that for her tonight. In the name of Jesus, not just her arm, the entire body, from the top of her head to her little toes. Let the healing anointing flow all through her being. Touch every nerve, touch every muscle, touch every part of the bone. And let there be complete wholeness. Let there be complete wholeness to her body. We thank you for it tonight. Lord, touch Heather. Thank you for the faith that she has. She has the faith for this. Thank you for Tyler. Thank you for the faith that he has. He has the faith for this. We thank you for Big Sister building her faith tonight. Lord, I pray right now, supernatural peace. Orebe suranda behika patose sitaka rotoke mamanda saronda kimande. Lord, let your grace right now administer a healing touch to this precious little life. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. Now let's give him thanks in advance. Lord, I thank you. With our voices, just begin to thank him in advance. I thank you, Lord. We expect the report to start changing. Hallelujah. We're expecting this world to start changing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Who else needs prayer? Who else needs prayer? I want to ask God to touch you tonight. Just raise your hand. Who else? Does anybody else need prayer or healing in your body? All right, bring your daughter. Let's pray for your little girl. What does she need?
Eyes? Okay. Hi, honey. Eyes need to be healed so that she can do well in school. We don't want surgery. We want God to do it. All right. Okay. Hey, Riley, can I pray for you, honey? Okay. Mom's got a hold of you, but I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I pray that you'll touch Riley's eyes right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want every nerve and every thing that's there that needs correction. Lord, we just seem to sense your spirit. There's an anointing here to heal children tonight. As in Mark 9, we saw that you move on children. Lord, I pray that you'll touch. Now, boys, hang on. Look, boys, watch me here, boys. Just a second. I want to show you something. You're doing good. You're praying real good. But you got to be careful. She's a little girl. You guys are big boys. You're strong, okay? And so her eyes will be healed, then she'll have a concussion. So put your hand. No, I'm going to show you how to pray for her, okay? I'm going to show you how to pray for her. I want you to pray with me. You just put your, when you pray for girls, you just kind of put your hand on them like this, okay? Because they're pretty fragile. You guys are tough. You'll never break. All right, now pray with me. Just put your hand on her like she's very, there you go, very precious, very good. Now, Lord, we pray for Riley. I ask that you keep your hand on her. God, it is not your will that her eyes be out of alignment, that her eyes struggle. God, she needs those to learn. She's a brilliant girl. Lord, she has great intellect, great knowledge, a great ability to learn. And we want her to be able to learn and be just as smarter as anybody else in that class, God. She won't be behind in any area or in any subject. And we believe that her eyes receive complete healing and complete wholeness. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. And me and these boys in this church agree together, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Amen. Amen. Does anybody else need a touch in your body? You want prayer? All right. Do you need Jesus to heal your body? Are you sick anywhere? Do you know where? You just want prayer in case you ever do. All right. That's awesome. There's some people out there that need prayer, won't ask for it. So I'm going to pray for you instead. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus for this precious, hungry little girl. She and her brother and her parents are precious, and they're valuable. And God, she may not understand everything that's going on, but her little spirit is so innocent, and there is no trace of unbelief, that she's just hungry for a touch from God. That's what's going on. And I, Lord, her spirit calls unto spirit, deep calls unto deep. And God, she may not even know now what's going on, but in the future, days ahead, there's an impartation, I pray, that comes upon her in the atmosphere of belief. In the atmosphere of faith, God, that is deposited in the DNA of her spirit. And she's a mighty, mighty, mighty little vessel of God. And she'll be fruitful for the rest of her life. Lord, I pray for Ben. Keep your hand on him. Anoint him with fresh oil. Use them in a mighty and a powerful fashion. May they be prayer partners. They pray for each other. And Lord, as they grow in faith, we give you thanks and honor for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hand on your shoulder. Just begin to pray with a blessing that God will bless them. Pray a blessing right now. God, I pray for my neighbor to my right, to my left, before we leave this place, that your hand and your anointing would be upon them right now. We pray strength. You said if two or three were together and get together in believing, faith believing, that you would do a miracle in their lives. Do it, we pray. Do it, we pray. You want prayer? Okay, all right. I want us to pray for, it's Gail, is that correct? Gail just told me, I've never met you before. Hi, I'm Matt. Hi, Gail. Gail's had 4 back surgeries this year, 4 of them. And when the doctors went in there, I can't imagine how difficult that is to have that done or to do it. But when they went in, they did some damage to the nerves, and she has areas in her body that she doesn't have any feeling. And we want to believe that God go in there and do restoring surgery without a bill, and that Jesus would do that. You know, I know a lot of people, they've had back problems and God has just healed them.
And I'm like, walking after the first surgery, was unable to feel or move my legs. I was paralyzed before I was walking, and there was several more surgeries all within 10 days. And but there's nerves that they cut that left parts of my body that have no feeling. I can't even tell if I'm burned or hot or cut.
There's no sense of any feeling there. Wow. That's dangerous.
It cost me my job and a bunch of things this year, but and through all of it, I've seen blessing, I've seen His provision, I've seen His hand. He lined up provision for my needs financially, and he opened up doors for my heart. For when I moved here to Maine just this summer, I knew nobody, I had no family here, no friends. He gave me a church family. He gave me Christians that came into my life and helped out, helped me stack wood. I had no idea what I was doing. I've had an organization come in and put a furnace in my home while I've been unable to work. And people stepped forward and put windows in my home. And I've been asking for a partner that loves the Lord, and He brought me to Don. And He's just been opening so many doors, and I just am praying. And it may not be His will to restore the feeling. It may be something that He asked me to accept and live with. But it may be His will, and if it is, I know that He is able to do so.
Well, I believe it's His will. And just because I have scripture for that. And that's what we base it on. I don't have any scripture for the other. Okay, but you're a sweet lady. I don't want to embarrass you, but I think you're trying to be tough. All right, well, you know, other people have it worse than me. Well, God wants to do the best for you. And look, He's done all that other stuff. It's not like He's tired or you've run out of, you know, you don't get three wishes. I was going to say the genie deal. Yeah, He's bigger than the genie. Yeah, wow, God's done a lot of things for you. And you've really learned how to use your faith. Now you're learning to use your faith. You use your faith to get here. You use your faith to get natural things. You use your faith to get connected to a good man. But now it's time to take your faith to another level. And that's to the level that God would complete the healing in your body. Okay, that's all. And it's simple. If I talk any more than that, we'll complicate it. And that's not God's will, okay? So you're Gail? Okay, I'm going to pray for you, Gail, that God will touch your back. And where's my wife? Come, honey, just put your hand on her back. I don't usually put my hands on women's backs, but yours. All right. We pray today, and let's pray together for Gail right now. We pray in the name of Jesus for Gail's body. God, we believe that this is a precious lady, and her spirit is so pure, and she's so hungry tonight. So God, I pray that You'll take care of any damage. God, the doctors of perhaps whatever they've done, God, right or wrong, we tonight believe that there's a power from heaven that comes and restores. Lord, we read the story in the Bible of a woman who had gone from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor, and she was no better. Lord, I think of this when I think of Gail. She's been to the doctor and she's no better. But tonight, God, You're going to make her better. Hallelujah. She has purposed in her heart to believe. She has purposed in her heart to come to the house of God and receive prayer. So God, I pray right now that there's healing flowing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And where there was no feeling, feelings coming back. Where there was deadness, there's life coming back. In the name of Jesus. You're a big God. Hallelujah. A big God. There's nothing too hard for those who will believe in a big God. We believe when You shed Your blood, God, You did that to bring us the covenant of healing and deliverance and restoration. So God, we pray that You'll touch her tonight. We give You the credit. We give You the glory. Let her faith rise. Let faith in You rise. We give You the praise. Amen. We give You the praise for what You're doing for her now. Let her sense that presence of the healer today. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.
Praise God. God's moving on you. He's touching your body. Just let Him keep doing it. Every day. You get up in the morning, you say, thank you, Lord. I'm getting better. And then read. Don will get you. Just read those scriptures that speak about healing. The Bible is more than a textbook, and you know that. But it does something to our faith when we read it. Just keep reading it. I believe you could go to bed healed, wake up healed. Any minute. Any minute now, it'll happen. All right? It's a privilege to meet you. Thanks for letting us pray for you. God bless you so much. Believe that God's going to finish what He started in you. Where'd you move here from?
Arizona.
I don't blame you. If I lived in Arizona, I'd move to Maine too. Wow. Well, I'll tell you, in Maine, the more friends you have that do wood, the better. Keep your wood friends close. All right. Because it is going to get colder. I don't know if Don told you that. Have you been through a winter yet? You haven't been through winter? Oh no, this is as cold as it gets. This is as cold as it gets. Why would I lie? Lord, I praise you for what you've done today. It's been a good day to be in your house. Thank you for your people. I pray your blessing on them. So good. Lord, let us come back refreshed this coming Sunday. Great testimonies in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. God bless you. Love one another. I'll see you this week. God bless you.